Good news, everyone!
This is Jake C. Lee.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great! Everybody else sucks!
Let's get dangerous!
Yes, sir, random kid I just met!
It's time to check the lid.
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list!
Hooray! People are paying attention for me.
It's all in the house.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No. Burn.
What is our hurry? How about that? What is up, you ducks? It's all in football. It's what happens.
You ready to go here today or
oh
what?
Oh my God, don't yell in my ear. I was trying to fix the audio because the freaking thing is like blasting in my eardrums. And this is what happens with StreamYard and you have a new computer that still hasn't fixed out all the bugs because I'm getting used to everything. It's all in football, though. It is Chris Meany. It is myself, Jake Seeley. We're getting ready for week 7. Ranks. Week 7 ranks. The third. Last week was the third point. Like, we're almost at the halfway. I was going to say next week, but it's now.
Pretty much are
halfway point to, like, through next week. It's the halfway of the halfway point. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Now that week 15 is actually playoffs, but it feels like week 14 is a big week too.
Yeah, week 14, 15, 16, 17. It's just weird at this point. But we are continuing. Reminder before we get off the top here: Carolina, Cincinnati, Dallas, Houston, Jets, and Tennessee all on bye. It's one of the two by Mageddon's, by apocalypses, by la 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 whatever.
I don't like it.
Nope. Hey, Goodell. New extension through 2027. Couldn't have 8 weeks of 4-game byes, but
no team's on bye next week too, right? Like,
is it next week? I know it's next week, and then there's
next week or the week after. There's like
there's
no
team. One later in the season with only two again. So let's get through this because we have a lot, and we have a lot at running back. This is the grossest waiver week of the season, but also the most important because there's a lot of running back injuries. We covered it yesterday on the waiver show. If you missed that, you can listen on iTunes and sub and like and do all those good things. But straight off the top, Rams situation. It got messier as the day went on. I kept answering the same thing, meaning I'm ready for you to give me your opinion because Zach Evans is the first man up. However, Zach Evans, 6th-round pick, couldn't get past Ronnie Rivers when everybody thought that he should. All the draft Knicks that really love Zach Evans, I thought he was kind of like Deonta Foreman, who we saw last week, and this was my argument yesterday in the waiver show, is that that's fine. Low-end RB2, actually probably a mid-end RB2, as Barkley gets really angry and there's about to get the zooms. There she goes running by. But
classic.
They elevated Barkley. Come here. Good grief. These two. Royce Freeman got elevated, and then they went out and made signings. Now, one is only directly to the practice squad, and then the other is returning in Daryl Henderson, but it sounds like it might just be the two for this week. Might be three. I still think Zach Evans is exactly what I thought he was going to be, is a fringe RB2 in Deonta Foreman range. The volume should help him, maybe a little bit more value in the passing game. But where are you? Are you more concerned about all these additional signings and elevations that they had yesterday?
I think so. Come long term, I believe this week it should be Evans' job. Just came down. I saw this morning that Kyren Williams is going to be out multiple weeks. It could return week 10. So I think maybe next week, week 8, or I don't even know if the Rams have a bye week 9. Potentially, that's why they said week 10. That maybe, in a couple weeks we see a little bit of Royce Rolls Freeman. It's been a minute since we've talked about him. But this could just be like this week, like you said. I mean, low-end RB2, a flex play. It could turn out like McLaughlin, who's just been average, below average over the past couple weeks, chasing him. It could turn out like DeMarcado chasing him, and he's on the field more than anybody else. But not, not touching the ball. That was fun.
I'm doing live here for everybody that's wondering why I'm looking down. I'm looking at the different bids that went off in flex. Zach Evans was 31. And the snake lives
for him.
Yeah, it seems like we're getting mostly 20s and 30s. Let's see what we got. And the other Zach 41 by Dane Martinez, a good friend of. Oh, wow. Next closest bid was $8. You always hate when that happens.
Always. Yeah, I think you and I were close with Zach on the. I think I had 13. You had 12. I knew I wasn't going to get him at that number.
Yeah, that's 21 and another one. Like, so it looks like he's ranging anywhere from like 20 to 40. So far, and we'll get the last one. This is super flex, so that might be a little bit different. And then Zach Evans, 18. So there you go. 18 to 41 is what we got in the four main leagues of flex. So sorry to cut you up, but continue.
No, you're good. No, it's good information. You want to share that stuff with the people. Because some people just don't, they don't even have their waivers run until tonight. I actually like that extra day for some practice reports, but
know,
it does take some of the educated guesses out. Yeah, no, you're right. If it's like Freeman or Foreman, it's okay. Like you said, it's just a low on RB2. He had 15 carries, 65 yards. He had one catch. You know, it's been more pass happy since Cooper Kupp has been back. Like the Rams are now chucking the football where they were running the football a little. Even though Stafford had those pass attempts, like they were really giving Kyren, you know, 15, 20 plus opportunities. I don't know if that's the case this week. He's a flex play, low in RB2. I know people are in tough spots, but I play him over Craig Reynolds, for example.
Would you play him over Craig Reynolds if there is no, is that the same answer for no Jahmyr Gibbs?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I would. And I do expect actually Craig Reynolds to be involved, even if there is Gibbs. We saw it in the game. Montgomery, you know, didn't play. We did see, I think, a career high in terms of rushing attempts for Gibbs, but we also saw Craig Reynolds, and I think that he's just going to get touches. It's the way Detroit rolls.
Well, so I mentioned the same thing in the game previews, is that the first time out, Gibbs was actually over 70% of the workload. It was actually, he was the guy, and Craig Reynolds was
It just wasn't good. Montgomery workload, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, Zonovan Knight had a few touches. Obviously, he's not there anymore. Right now, I have Gibbs at 16, assuming he plays. Too high or too low? It's kind of,
I think I just feel like it's slightly high because they're, I feel like they'll ease him in. Like, I don't know, but it's just always this thing where if they're healthy, if he's healthy,
it's a gross week. Look who's right behind him. Like, we'll do it. Like, you ready? We'll make a list. We're just going to get right to it. Like, Gibbs in front of Stevenson, and Stevenson, it was the majority of his work until he got hurt and exited the game. And that's what Zeke did most of his. And then Stevenson came back in, but I don't know if I trust it 1 week and against Buffalo. I know Buffalo's not fearsome, but I just Stevenson or Gibbs, straight up, which would you do?
I think I would go Stevenson there.
Okay, would you go James Cook, who now has hit a season low in RB touches?
I'm worried about him.
He got all the run. He just got zero in the passing game all of a sudden, which was a little bit of a concern at the beginning of the season. Latavius Murray, interesting enough, do you know Latavius Murray is inside the top 10 for goal line rushes, except he only has two rushing touchdowns, but they keep turning to him instead of James Cook. So I would play Gibbs over Cook.
Yeah, I would play Gibbs over Cook too. It's they're just very similar backs, and you would expect maybe Dan Campbell and the Lions would give Gibbs a couple touches inside the red zone, because that game where Montgomery didn't play, he didn't get those touches. Like, Reynolds got a couple of those. I saw Josh Reynolds have a red zone rushing attempt in one game as well, which I thought was weird. But this is what we said about Cook. I just thought it would be Damian Harris playing the Latavius Murray role.
Which, thankfully, he's okay, by the way. And then Alexander Mattison against the 49ers, who all of a sudden Cam Akers was not involved. And then
played nine snaps. I think I would I honestly think that I would lean Madison because the spot is so tough.
Seriously?
I just have this feeling. Yeah, I mean, Ford had an okay day. You know, I don't expect Madison to be super efficient. I just have this feeling that Gibbs is going to play 50% of the snaps with Craig
Reynolds. Gibbs won't be a good night.
He's just got that hamstring, man, and coming off the injury.
Trusting
and they've never
Dan
really.
Campbell is a big fright.
Man, the Lions are cooking right now. Holy crap. Are they favorites in the NFC?
You're going to get so annoyed with me. I'm going to keep going.
No, keep going. I keep going. I'll let you go.
All right. Well, let's. Interesting enough, I wasn't going to go to this next, but let's talk about Jerome Ford real quick because he was in that conversation. Yeah. Jerome Ford, about almost 60%, and then Kareem Hunt creeped up towards 40. It was about like 65, 35. I think the exact number was when the touches, including just those two. If you had factored in just those two, their numbers were actually more like 60, 40. But then once you include everybody else, it drops Ford under 60. Point being, Ford was still the lead. Hunt got the touchdown. Hunt looked good, though. Like, no denying, he looked good, especially on that touchdown.
Did.
Are you concerned about Jerome Ford? Because I put him at 14 because he's facing the Colts. And then right behind him, we're going to get to somebody else in a minute. And we've already he's at 14. We already talked Gibbs, Stevenson, Cook. I'm going right down my rankings for everybody that's listening. Free ranks. Gibbs, Stevenson, Cook, Madison, Roshan, which you got to talk about. Javonte, Zach Evans, we kind of talked about. Rashad, I think Jerome Ford is ahead of all of them. But I don't really I have a little bit of fear. I'm Jerome Ford. I was team Jerome Ford when this whole thing started.
Yeah.
But I don't like that Kareem Hunt had like 35% of those touches last week.
I know. And like you said, he looked good in what was a big game against the Niners, you know, which is everybody thinks is the best team in football. So, and they also closed out the game with him, right? When the game was on the line, they had a couple moments with Ford there, but when the game was like, when they're running it out, they were really leaning on the veteran. I don't think that Ford's going to lose his job. I think he's done enough like to earn it, to at least it be 60-40. It could turn into 50-50, but I'm with you. I have Ford ranked ahead of Kareem Hunt. And Hunt, just given this week and some of the injuries and all the teams on bye, like you have him mid-20s, like that's a low in RB2 and a flex play. You just hope he gets a couple catches. He may be the goal line back there. That's a possibility.
Do you have any fear if, like, let's say Jerome Ford goes out there and has RB15 day. He has 80 yards and a touchdown, something like that. That might even be better than RB15 on this week with six teams on the bye. But let's just say 70 yards and a touchdown, 70, 80 yards and a touchdown, a good week. Would you consider immediately selling high? Are you, or how, I guess that's the thing, is how afraid of you are Kareem Hunt for the long term?
I'm not.
Okay.
I would keep him, given the landscape of the position. I would keep him. But there is a possibility,
well, here,
maybe
here's
even
an
a
example.
Good one, Jake, that he gets goal line work, and that's very valuable.
And I'm with you on Jerome Ford, and I think Devontae Adams is a great buy low. The quarterback situation might not help. Like, this might be disgusting the rest of the Jimmy Garoppolo can't stay 100% healthy, and his not being 100% healthy is ruining things. More for than Jacoby Myers, more for Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams, three straight stinkers, and people are like, ooh, I'm really concerned about Devontae Adams. Or is it two? And then there's one earlier this season. Point being, I think it's three in a row. Somebody asked me, and they're like, I send Devontae Adams and Jerome Ford for Drake London and Michael Pittman. I was like, no! Like, you are selling so stinking low on Devontae Adams. I know we're not talking about that right now, but I wanted to loop in because we are including Jerome Ford. I think both Jerome Ford's overall value is undervalued, and then I think people are full on panic, and I'm buying low on Devontae Adams.
Yeah, the quarterback play is, like you said, it's pretty bad, but he's still Devontae Adams. His ceiling is extremely high. The defense is still really, really bad there, and it's going to remain bad the rest of the year. So I don't view him as like a top five or eight wide receiver, but he's still a wide receiver one. Like, he's still a low end. Like, he's definitely available to be had. Him and T. Higgins, I think, are the, and probably Devontae Smith, are probably the three wide receivers that are like top 12 guys or can be top 12 guys. That
you don't have concern of Devontae Smith? I said,
Julio?
You don't concerned about him? No.
Oh,
Devontae.
No, oh, no. Yeah, I thought you were.
No, no. First of all, this is how irrelevant this is. For everybody out there, this is how irrelevant of a signing this is for me, is that when you said, are you afraid, and you went to Julio Jones as you blurred your camera because you moved away. Like, I see you're trying to get back in front. There we go.
There we go.
I immediately didn't even think of Julio Jones. I've already put him in my mind.
Know.
That's how irrelevant this is.
Over, under, 5.5 catches rest of the season for Julio Jones. That's what I would set the line at. I think he can get 7 grabs the rest of the season.
Okay. So Devontae
Anyways,
Smith.
I'm not worried about Devontae Smith. It was, man, what a frustrating game to watch last week. I don't want to really get into it, but the Eagles were just passing way more than they should have. There's no need of that. It's a couple uncharacteristic drops. Like, I've never really seen Devontae struggle with drops. You know, some of our tools show contested catches, tight windows, and he graded up at the top in year one and in year two. And this year, last week was a couple just wide open drops. I know that AJ is getting a lot of work, and he's going to continue to get a lot of work. But I saw something on ESPN Stats and Info yesterday, is that Hurts, when he targets the wide receivers, he's got like a top three QBR. But when he targets tight ends or running backs, it's like a bottom five guy in the league. And that's because he's not really throwing to those guys. So he's going to continue to throw to Devontae. He had 11 targets. I'm not super concerned.
It's not that late season run like where we were like, ooh, he might be straight in contention with A.J. Brown. So
it's not going to happen.
Going back to the Browns and Colts. So Jonathan Taylor, I didn't want to talk about, he was going to come back to this game. First week, 16.4% of the snaps, 42.7 last week. 21.9% of the touches in week one of his return, 50% last week. This is exactly what I said in the column, is that I expect Taylor to lead week seven. Do I mean that's 80%? No. But I think he's in the lead, and I think maybe next week is the week where we're finally going to get to the point. It's going to take about 3 or 4 weeks, and he's going to be back to Jonathan Taylor. However, he faces the Browns. That's a problem.
Man,
and that's why
nasty defense.
I know. That's why I said, let's get back to it. And I'm going to pause right there because I didn't want to mention the person right behind Gibbs and right in front of Gibbs and behind Jerome Ford in the same game is Jonathan Taylor. too high, too low, or they're just right porridge? What are you thinking here with Jonathan Taylor?
Just right porridge. I think it's a good ranking. The buy low window, we discussed this. Unfortunately, we missed you on the serious show, but we talked about the exact same thing you just mentioned. You know, Taylor will continue to see an uptick in terms of, you know, just usage and getting on the field. Zach Moss has had some really nice moments this season, but let's be honest, like, these two backs are very, very different. And there's a much higher ceiling with Jonathan Taylor. The one thing I liked from Taylor is that he had 5 grabs and 6 targets. Like, I believe it was his rookie season or maybe his sophomore season. He was the guy that was catching 50 passes. So if he's not super efficient running the rock against Cleveland, which is, I mean, they're the number one DVOA defense, you know, over at FTN. They're extremely stout on the line of scrimmage. Like, if you watch that Niners game, as soon as Purdy got the ball, the line of scrimmage just moved like 2 to 3 yards in Purdy's face and CMC's face. So just given the week, I think this is a fair ranking. I think I have him at 17. Couple catches out of the backfield will make him a decent RB2 this week.
A decent RB2. Do you think the buy low window is over, or do you think it is potentially?
I think it might actually, if he struggles against Cleveland, it may even reopen.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. Do you think there's a chance that he's that bad against Cleveland where, you know, who gets next week too? The Saints.
Another really tough spot. I know. Yeah.
It's multiple weeks in a row that it's like the matchups are pretty poor for them. I'm going to pull this back up. Let's see if I could go back. Before they faced the 49ers, I'm going to the Cleveland Browns defense. Yards before contact for running backs. Did you see that tweet that I put out a week before? Did you see what it was?
No.
Yards before contact before they faced the 49ers was 0.0, as in they were allowing zero yards, none. Zilch.
You, man.
Like, basically start the line of scrimmage with contact. Like, that's what they were doing. And that was the lowest number since the Tampa Bay Buccaneers way back when you didn't want to face them in 2000, whatever it was. I don't remember the exact year now when I tweeted it out. Yeah. By the way, the next closest was 0.6 something.
Holy crap.
Right now, that one game with Christian McCaffrey bumped it up to 0.1. They're allowing 0.1 yards before contact. Second place, which is crazy to think that this team is second place. Chicago Bears, 0.64. But again, 0.6, a half a yard further up the field. It's like, that's how stout this Browns defense. Like, this is a number that shouldn't exist. So,
well, we should be very concerning. And if the Browns can get Watson back and he can just be in a slightly above average quarterback, I don't know, maybe PJ Walker, but let's give him some credit. Again, this is from ESPN Stats and Info. Niners, 215 yards, fewest in 7 seasons under Kyle Shanahan. 7 seasons, 3.9 yards per play. Team's fewest in the last 63 games. They were 8-3 and outs. It's the first time in Shanahan's career as a Niners coach that happened.
What was the previous low? Was that something like C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins was that quarterback that night or something?
Had to have been, yeah. Had to have been. But even still, like, Mullins or C.J. probably hit Debo on an 80-yard catch.
We might get beat hard this week.
We'll find out. Yeah, I don't know. Like, hearing Trevor Lawrence say yesterday that he was surprised about how much better he felt was really an alarming statement to me. Almost felt like he thought on Monday night that he had no chance of playing and that he was surprised about how much better he felt. So he must be in a lot of pain.
So you want to know some interesting bet things before we get to this next running back. It's the running back facing the Giants. Did you know the Giants were the last team to cover the spread last week? They were the only team that hadn't until last week covered the spread, and now they've only covered the spread in 1 of 5 games. The four other teams, there are 5 teams that have only done it once. Giants, let's see if you can guess. Guess a couple. Come on, real quick. Go.
That haven't covered the spread?
Only once. That have only covered the spread once this year.
Carolina?
Yes. Come on, you're going to be good at this. I think you're better than this than you think about. Think about really terrible quarterbacks.
I was going to say Washington, but not, I was, no. But then I like Howell. Howell's a good quarterback.
No.
Denver?
Yes. Somebody might be losing his job any given week, but the coach keeps saying it's still his job. New England, Patriots.
I don't know.
And then,
New England. Obviously New England. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the
and
Patriots.
And then the Atlanta Falcons.
And then the Falcons.
Yep.
Good. Nice. Cool. Nice little tidbit.
I want to talk about this, Brian Robinson, for this matchup against the Giants. Is this their bye window is about to close before he plays this week? Brian Robinson's still an RB1 in RB touch percentage. It's been a miserable-ish kind of couple weeks here for Brian Robinson, but the workload is still there. He's still getting used in the passing game. Antonio Gibson, nothing in the run game. If he catches a touchdown, that's the only thing that saves his day. Are you buying low on Brian Robinson before he faces the Giants?
Yeah, I would try to get him. Yeah, anywhere. I've actually tried a couple times in my leagues, like, because he's been hot and cold, right? Kind of game script dependent, I suppose.
Yeah, cold.
I like it. It's a good one. And I can't get him, so nobody will give him to me. He's currently 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's RB. Oh, that's Bijan. He's RB 13 on the season with even some inconsistencies, like 13, 27, 7, 12, 6, 12. You know, if he lives in that 12 to 15 range, I'm perfectly fine with it.
Who do you consider being B-Rob? If somebody, I know you would ask for clarification.
This is B-Rob to me.
So that's like, if you saw somebody ask you and they said, should I start B-Rob? Obviously, nobody's ever going to ask you that. You would default.
No, I get it. I get it on Mean Streets.
Brian Robinson.
It screws me up. I don't know. I always have to say, are you talking about Brian Robinson or Bijan Mustard? I just assume B-Rob. B-Rob, J-Rob. I don't know. Is there any other ones up there?
Well, because Brian also works with rest. So it's like B-Rob. Like you have to. That's the problem. You have to go multiple letters. So, you could put B-R-R. B-Rob.
B-Rob. Speaking of Bijan Robinson, I'm going to ask you this question because I struggled with it yesterday. No. Josh Jacobs or Bijan Robinson the rest of the season?
Rest of the season? Jacobs.
Yeah. Like, the same thing. And then
you know, I just got. Oh, you could do B-Rob Jr. That's a good point, too.
That is a good one.
We as of today, I mean, it's holding true as of today, Meanie, but we can take our victory lap on the Bijan Robinson as the second running back off
say
the board.
It.
You know why somebody came at me and like, why aren't you celebrating this more? Because I was actually tweeting yesterday that Nick Chubb still has more rushing yards and fantasy points than Cam Akers and Dalvin Cook. Still more rushing yards than Akers and Cook. And both guys were being drafted, what, 5th, 6th, 7th round, those guys?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
Still has, and somebody was like, "Man, you were so right about Nick Chubb not being over, or that was the best case scenario for Bijan Robinson." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't want to celebrate it too. I still have more hope for."
I know, but like, so, he's got zero rushing touchdowns, right? Which is, he's got zero rushing touchdowns for a team that wants to run the football and they run it as much as they do. He has zero, and he's had over 14 carries once. Got a couple 100-yard games. He's awesome. He looks great.
Arthur Smith,
I wish they gave him the ball more. But yeah, that's what it is. It was more Arthur Smith than anything to me. And they still give Algier more work than he should get.
So we're going to come back to this game.
Jay, time to leave for me.
That's because Jay took him as a second pick in flex leagues. Second running back off the board. Let's continue. Rashad White. I got a lot of questions about Rashad White. And somebody was like, your boy. And I was like, he was not my boy. I remember. I actually sat here and I referenced the late great Mike Tagliere when I pointed out the fact that how hard it is for RB1 to be on a bottom 10 offense, that it doesn't happen. It happens maybe an average 2 times a year. All that being said, I still ranked, if you wanted to say Rashad White, I had to think like RB 15, I think, or what, I had him as RB 2. That was wrong. He's a low end RB 2. You know, we could sit here and debate like how wrong I was because, you know, Raheem Mostert's ahead of Devon Achane is in front of him. So there's other people that are in front of him that nobody saw coming. But all that being said is low end RB2 is still not what people hoped for. The volume is there. It's been disgusting. I mean, who's going to get involved? Keyshawn Vaughn? Whatever. Do you have to just ride it out with Rashad White? Would you try to get rid of him? Do you think like Sean Tucker hasn't been involved? Like, it's just they're sticking with White. It's just been disgusting.
It has. I have him in a lot of spots. I'm sticking with him. I'm playing Javonte Williams over him this week against the Packers. I don't want to make excuses for him, but look at the schedule, man. Like, we just talked about the run defense. It's like Philly, top 5 run defense. Saints, if you don't want to say top 5, you better say top 10. Like, they've just been a good run defense for 5-6 years.
Yep.
Then Detroit, they allow, 3.89 yards per carry on the ground. Like, so that's a tough defense. And then this week, the Falcons have been pretty good against the run. Then I'm looking forward, like, where do these matchups come? Does he have any soft ones coming up? Like, Buffalo's allowed a lot on the ground. The Texans have been historically a good run defense, so maybe he turns around then. But then he gets Tennessee and San Fran immediately after that. So there's a lot of tough matchups
for
him.
I've got something for you
as well.
I like
the fact that he's getting the touches and the catches.
I'm going to give you a toss-up. I'm going to give you a toss-up because of running backs with at least 67% of the running back touches. So why 67? It's 2/3. 66.7, rounded up to 67. So of running backs with 67% of their RB touches, there's only two since week three that aren't averaging double-digit points per game. You obviously know one of them is Rashad White, because that's why we're talking. 6.8 since week three. Do you know who the other one is? Can you guess who the other one is?
It's not Henry.
Nope. Damian Pierce. 9.2.
Yeah, that's obvious.
Would you rather have Pierce or White going forward?
I would have to look at the schedule, but I think off the top of my head, I would rather have White. The fact that Singletary is at least kind of hanging around. There's nobody like that in Tampa. You just said Keyshawn Vaughn. I know, I always say that. And I think I say it because I want to hear you sing it. Just based on pure opportunity and volume alone, there's Singletary, who now has a game that he played more snaps and was out there more than Damian Pierce.
The touches were exactly the same. Yep.
D'Amico Ryans came out and said,
"It was the he does this, he does that. They both look good. We got to give them both."
That's fair. Okay. And that doesn't make you feel good because there could be a game in the future where Singletary does some good things and they ride the hot hand. I just don't think that that's the case in Tampa Bay, where they're going to, Keyshawn Vaughn is not going to be more efficient than Rashad White. Tucker's just not getting on the field. So,
well, let's talk, go back to the Lions, because we kind of touched on Craig Reynolds, but we didn't go too deep into Craig Reynolds. I'm with you on Jahmyr Gibbs, is that I think Craig Reynolds would still be behind Zach Evans for me, but I compared him to another Deonta Foreman. I think all three of them, we need the Spider-Man thing. Finkel is Einhorn, all of them. Deonta Foreman to Zach Evans is Craig Reynolds, point. The problem is I don't like Craig Reynolds' passing game as much as I like Zach Evans, even Deonta Foreman's. The problem now with Deonta Foreman, which we're going to talk about in a second, assuming Roschon Johnson's back, but we'll get to that in a second. But that's why I would still play Zach Evans. But would you even play him as an RB3 if Gibbs is out there? Because we talked about if Gibbs and how much work. So assuming Gibbs is out there, because everybody knows they're probably playing Craig Reynolds. With six teams in a bye and how many injuries we're dealing with, we're talking about three or four teams that aren't on a bye that are having injury situations at running back. So with all that being said, you're probably forced to start Craig Reynolds if he's, if there is no Jahmyr Gibbs. But are you still starting him if Gibbs is out there? Are we talking about an RB3 and you're just hoping he falls into the end zone? Or would you just be like, I'm not even messing around with this, because every time Craig Reynolds is a piece, the second piece, it's like eight touches, maybe.
Yeah, maybe the latter to me. I may not mess around, but I would not be shocked if it was a split. Because
would
Gibbs,
you start here? Yeah, would you start Zach names. Moss or Craig Reynolds?
I think I would go Zach Moss. Cleveland though. I think I would go Zach Moss. I think a couple other names I'd check at you.
Keonta Ingram.
I was gonna say Ingram, yes, and also maybe even Latavius Murray against.
I have Latavius Murray in front of him too.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, right?
How about maybe Justice Hill and Ezekiel Elliott?
Yes, Justice Hill and Zeke. Yeah, I would. I don't want to, as much as I'm sitting here saying that Craig Reynolds will be involved, I think it's more of a pain in the butt for Gibbs than you wanting to roll
to
the dice and play
Craig Reynolds.
Yeah, they both could hit, eight carries each, and who knows, maybe Goff is just throwing it inside the red zone. But yeah, it's a desperation flex. I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a couple names, right? Like Ingram. I wonder about Mitchell, too. Mitchell versus... It sounds like CMC's... That's a Monday Night Football game, so you really have to wait.
Yeah, we're going to finish with that. But before we get real quick, with the Cardinals situation, if you want to, chart this out in your brain. So, Williams had the most fantasy points... Or, no, sorry, Ingram, because we're talking about Ingram. Ingram had the most fantasy points, but he was second in snaps. First in snaps was actually Amare Del Mercado, but he was dead last in touches and points.
And every time Damian touched the field,
he was second in fantasy points and touches. So so Ingram's the guy, but stay away from him where you can. And then, where I was going to go is the last two things we have to talk about is this one, the CMC situation. We're hoping, this is still Wednesday. They said they were going for the MRI to determine the severity, and we still don't have word, which is making me you would think if they determined the severity, it's like, oh, no problem, we would have got hey, good report. I don't like the fact that we don't have the report. Anyway, Who knows? Yeah. Maybe he's okay. But we also play this game, and I know it's not an ankle, but we play this game with Saquon Barkley. Barkley's like, I don't have an ankle sprain. I'll be fine. And then 4 weeks later, it's like, oh, he's finally coming back.
And then he told the reporters before the game the other night that he wasn't even sure if he could cut. He looked awesome, by the way.
I know. Like, but the problem is you have to – CMC plays on Monday night. Yeah. There's a chance we don't know by kickoff of Sunday. If you can't wait, do not wait. I would actually do everything I could possibly do in my life to wait on Christian McCaffrey because he's that much better than even the number two running back. But, you know, maybe Mitchell was out there. Maybe Mason was still out there. I put it this way, meaning if I had a flex and I could wait and pick up Brandon Powell, like, I don't want to risk a zero, but I will do whatever I can to hopefully wait for Christian McCaffrey. But let's, real quick, because people are going to wonder, if we are in a world where Christian McCaffrey isn't playing, and we already know that, Elijah Mitchell, we talked about it yesterday on the waivers, but I do want to get your opinion. I would rank Elijah Mitchell in front of Jordan Mason. We've heard it from Shanahan. We've heard it from other beat reporters that Elijah Mitchell is their guy. They like him. That's why they brought him back. Elijah Mitchell over Mason, or are you concerned that, similar to Jonathan Taylor, first game back, the workload is not completely there, and it's Jordan Mason, and he's actually the better play.
So I'm with you. Like, not going to. This is not anything negative at Ratcliffe, but he is Team Mason. I saw that in his waivers and, you know, in his rankings last night at FTN Fantasy. I just think that, and I don't know if it was said, but I just think what you said, like Elijah Mitchell, it was his first game back, and I think he was on a snap count. He's always been behind CMC. He's even shared work with CMC. So Mason ran really hard, and that was nice to see. And maybe Shanahan uses both of these guys to start the game, assuming CMC is out. But I think that Mitchell is the better back, and I think he understands the playbook and the offense a little bit more, and I would assume he'd be the goal line back there the way that he's built. So I lean him, and maybe it's a 60-40. Maybe it's close. If Shanahan told us, like, even if he told us, like, this is going to be a 50-50 timeshare without CMC, I would still rank Elijah Mitchell ahead of Mason. So I lean that way. Maybe Juwan Jennings is a guy, a desperation thing you can pick up and just have CMC.
I only like Jennings if Debo's out.
Well, that's one thing I was going to say. Like, maybe Debo doesn't play either, and you can just, yeah. The zero stinks, but CMC is a game changer. Clearly.
I actually have the. So for the Browns, this is actually going straight to this matchup. After facing the Browns, the second toughest pass EPA, Brock gets a chance to face the Vikings. They are six most favorable. No, here's why I like the Juwan Jennings. Six most favorable, and they are the best singular EPA matchup against slot receivers. Best in the league. Seahawks are second. Juwan Jennings, 58.5% of his routes are in the slot. The second closest for the team is Ray McLeod at 27.
Giddy up. Yeah, I think he's probably...
Desperation play. Not like, go start Juwan Jennings.
No. But it is a fallback option for those that have CMC. Put him in your flex spot right now and just have these kind of backup plans. Because although Debo avoided a serious injury, I think that's one where even if he's active, we already seen this game before with Debo. He was active against, what, Arizona? He sat on the sidelines the whole game.
On the Vikings side of it, let me ask you something, because I'm kind of curious on this one. I saw a lot of people saying, should I bench and or drop KJ Osborne? And I was like, he had an okay game. Like,
I thought he was okay.
Again, this kind of falls into the Romeo Doubs conversation I had with Lauren yesterday about the worries, because it was during the bye, and a lot of people, Romeo Doubs was one of the most dropped players last week. And I know the Packers were on a bye, but that full on panic from crap game before they hit their bye, because Christian Watson, obviously, which I understand part of it going deeper into it. Jordan Love is one of the highest. I think he might be the highest if you qualify like 50 pass attempts, but either so, if you 20, whatever it is, he's at least top three at first read percentage, as in he throws to his first read. That first or the second game back for Christian Watson, the first read for Christian Watson, he led the team by a good margin. Second was actually Luke Musgrave, and then Romeo Doubs. So I get the concern.
I could see that.
Same thing with KJ Osborne. There's no way you're letting a top two wide receiver on any team, unless it's the Chiefs, which they don't really even have a clear number two. KJ Osborne, would you play KJ Osborne against the 49ers?
Yeah, I would, especially with all these teams on bye. I'm surprised the ownership. I think we said it. I believe I said it was a trap, and you're like, it's a trap. I thought that it would be immediately. I told everyone that people are going to spend all this fab on KJ Osborne, and they're going to expect Justin Jefferson numbers, but Addison's going to get an uptick, and he didn't even have a great game, but he scored a touchdown, and Hawkinson's going to be the guy there.
Addison top five in the league in end zone targets.
Just, He still played, I think, 90% of the snaps, 87% of the snaps. KJ Osborne, he led all the Vikings wide receivers. You know, like, that's very important.
You know who I compare him to, and I have them back-to-back in my rankings at 32 and 33? Josh Palmer. Josh Palmer, KJ Osborne.
Yeah. Out there, running routes, playing snaps, good quarterback, pass-happy offense.
That was another one. I got people saying after that game, Josh, what did Josh Palmer have, like 4 for 75 or 80, something like that?
What was wrong with that?
No, and I'm bringing that up to say I saw somebody even ask, they're like, should I just move on from Palmer and stash Quentin Johnston? And like, why? Like, what do you want from these people? Like,
Quentin Johnston, I'm okay with stashing Quentin Johnston. And I said this yesterday as well. I think he's a good buy low. And like, if you could buy in Dynasty, if your season is over and the team at the top has Quentin Johnston, they want to win a championship. He's not doing anything for you this year. He could be a decent stash. And maybe he
was an uptick. I hate to tell people this, but all three of your starting wide receivers can't be Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, you can't.
No, like, man, yesterday I gave the top 15 wide receivers that are sub 60% Yahoo. And it was Dobbs was like 60. I was shocked. They left him off the list, but I mentioned him. And then Palmer was 59. And then so it's like, oh, it's just because he's a Canadian. It's like, what do you mean? Like, he's okay. Like, wow. He's not.
I didn't realize racist people were on your show.
He's not, he's not blowing the world away here, but I think these are okay numbers for a flex. Like, he's got 12, 9, 8 fantasy points, 4 for 66 in a touchdown, 377, 4 for 60. It's okay. It's not, again, everything is going to Keenan Allen. Justin Herbert is very, I don't know. I think it's the coaching, man. Not more. I think Staley needs to go personally, but. Anyways, conversation for another day. I think Palmer is fine as a flex.
Okay.
And KJ Osborne too.
I want to transition. If this game has already happened when you're listening to us, we're about to talk Thursday Night Football real quick, so don't go anywhere. But I just want to point it out. Nobody's been listening to me. I've said it to you. And I think you've listened, but I'm tongue in cheek saying this.
I've said
it to you. I've said it to Pat. I've said it on the waiver show. I said it in the SiriusXM show. And I don't know why nobody else is talking about this and tweeting this out. I said it's been clear since week 3. 100% clear. At that time, I was like, it's a small sample. It is now 6 weeks into the season. When Zay Jones is on the field, Calvin Ridley is the 1, Zay Jones is the 2, Christian Kirk is the 3. Very clear. When Zay Jones doesn't play, Christian Kirk leapfrogs and becomes the 1, and Calvin Ridley actually becomes the 2. You want to know why I'm saying this? Because let's get the numbers to back this up. Calvin Ridley, 5.6 points per game and 18% of the team targets when Zay Jones is out. It jumps to 8.3 per game and 25.6. For Christian Kirk, that's where he goes. He goes up to 25, down from 9.6. Point being, all the numbers are there in the column. Everything jumps up. Christian Kirk becomes the 1, Calvin Ridley the 2. But this is why I bring this up. Are you worried about Calvin Ridley as a starting option against the Saints because Zay Jones is already not practicing again? That's why I wanted to ask this question.
This is the first week where maybe I haven't been listening to you, but this is the first week where I have ranked Kirk ahead of Calvin Ridley. It's just a spot or two. It's just a touch. I am worried about Calvin Ridley. He's getting all these targets, but he's not catching them. So I think he's a buy low because I think people are really frustrated with Calvin Ridley in this Jags offense, but a low end wide receiver too, to the point like I'm still starting him, but Kirk is, like, you gave the numbers, you've been talking about it all offseason. Kirk is, as long as Zay Jones is gone,
it's just such a weird
Kirk's
thing
the guy.
I think
it is weird. And Zay Jones is good, and he's played parts of two games, he's had 2 touchdowns.
By the way, I'll give you something else real quick before we move on to this game. Nothing fantasy related, it's actually purely betting related. The over under on this is 40. Okay. The Saints are the only team in the league whose team is never, that combined, they've never hit the over. They're all of their games, both teams have combined to hit the under every single time. The points per game combined for the Saints and their opponents is 34.2.
Love it. And last time you talked about this,
that
was Packers
like
and Raiders.
Point game.
Remember when it was Packers Raiders? Yes. That was an easy under. They didn't even combine for 40, and that was 45. Yeah, I've actually been doing the Saints unders because I really believe in their defense.
Well, it's because what Pat said to me when I did his show on Monday, he was like, the Saints, if you score 17 against the Saints, you probably win. Like,
you probably win. They're not scoring at all. Yeah, they're not. And the Jags offense has been very mediocre. Part of it is the drops, but it's been
flip side, is Olave a buy low? Like, we made excuses for the drop touchdowns. He had 2 drop touchdowns, one each week. He actually had a touchdown the 1 week. He could add 2. He had the big dropped one before that. But last week, leading wide receiver for the flipping Saints, Taysom Hill. Like,
what was that about?
Exactly. No, the same thing we have in every single year. So that's why I'm asking. Is Olave legitimately a buy low, or is Olave just in the Calvin Ridley conversation? They're actually more like low-end wide receiver twos.
Yeah, that's how I view him. It's a low-end wide receiver two. Is not a where he was going as wide receiver 12, 13, 14, roughly. He's a low-end with Calvin Ridley. We like the player, ultimately. It's been four really solid games and two mediocre ones. But I don't know, man. Taysom Hill really bothers me. I get that he's a weapon, but seven catches on eight targets, like, that's, I don't know.
Pat didn't believe me. I said this is like Suits because we were watching Suits. Nicole and I are going through it. I watched it when it was originally on. I haven't watched it since, and she never saw it. So we're going through it again. I was like, Taysom Hill has something on somebody. He's got some type of paperwork of like proof that he did something somewhere else. And they're just saying, you know, he's like, you got to put me out there. You got to play me or else going to release this information that I have on the Saints. Something like that. Commanders and Giants, though. So out wide, wide receivers light out wide, not in the slot, not anywhere else, just purely on the outsides. The Commanders allow the most yards per game, 159.8 to receivers on the outside. The Browns least for a comparison, 63. This give you a comparison between the two. This is why, if you are in a deep league or if you need a desperation Hail Mary play, Jalen Hyatt went up to 83.3% of the routes last week.
Saw that uptick for the boy.
Over 16 yards per air attempt. I don't care if it's Tyrod Taylor or Daniel Jones. Again, I'm not saying start Jalen Hyatt. I'm not saying go out there and slam into your lineups.
But it might be a good player to stash.
Desperation play. Too. Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Even if you don't need him, stash him because if he hits, and we're talking about next week's waivers.
Yeah.
If he goes 4 for 70, even next week waivers, he'll going to be. Yes. So.
Yeah. I like the call. It's just like completely opposite between him and Rondell, right? Wondell's a guy that's like a low floor 5 for 50.
Every single week.
I know every week. I keep.
Wondell Robinson's old Jacoby Myers. Actually, not even Jacoby Myers ceiling back then, because we would get some like 8 for 110 games from him. He's discount. Yeah. He's Walmart Jacoby Myers.
What are we doing with Roshan? We should get back to that one for a quick second.
Oh, we didn't go to Roshan. You're right. Ooh, thank you. Look at you controlling the pace here. I like that. Roshan Johnson,
I need to hear what you think because I got a lot of Roshan.
I have Roshan Johnson comfortably in front of Deonta Foreman. Deonta Foreman had all the opportunities, all the chances last week. He didn't look bad. He just didn't look great. He was just replacement. Like I said this on, I think, Pat's show or whatever. Like, or maybe it was the waiver. I don't know. Point B. Deonta Foreman is when people throw out the term replacement level and say, like, running backs are replaceable. Running backs are, you know, why pay them? They're all replaceable. Deonta Foreman's replacement level to me, like, subpar. Craig Reynolds, replacement level to me. Those are the guys that are, like, deep down your depth chart. Damian Williams at this point of his career, that's replacement level. When you have the opportunity to turn to, like, you know, Raheem Mostert, like the Dolphins do, or Devon Achane, although he's not really, but like when you have those kind of options, your next man up, I don't think that's replacement level. I think you have a better backup than most people do. Like that's my opinion. Yeah. So when I look at this, as like Roshan Johnson, I think is more talented. My only concern here is with this, and this is, well, I'll get your opinion because I brought this up on the other show. Zach Jackson from The Athletic, when I asked him Khalil Herbert, the week that Khalil Herbert, I ruined Khalil Herbert. Every time I ask about somebody, I ruined Justin Fields. Mini texted me. He was like, you just asked Justin Fields in a trade.
He sent me an offer for Justin Fields after the last show. You said, every time you send somebody an offer for a player, take it. That person should take it because somebody gets hurt. So then you trade it. You hit me an offer for Justin Fields. I'm like, nah, I can't deal. Then the guy like breaks his thumb or whatever. I'm like,
dislocated.
Are you kidding me? Stop sending me offers.
Anybody, who out there needs somebody hurt for their mashup this week? I'm gonna start sending a trade offers.
Just couldn't go more wrong in flex this
year. Hey, I'm not even kidding. I'm not 100. I'll get my buddy on this show to prove it. We're in a keeper league. It's the last year he can keep Justin Jefferson. I came with him for three different trades. I came hard that week.
And then Justin Jefferson. I've been blaming George Fox.
I just actually said the same thing I said to him on
George
the phone.
George put JJ phrasing on every graphic.
I know. I said came hard for him. She was like, oh, phrasing. Yeah. So anyway, I'll get back to this. I have Roshan Johnson. My concern is to go back to what Zach Jackson said, is that when Khalil Herbert was doing his thing, is like they like Herbert, they like Roshan Johnson, but expect more of Roshan Johnson. Once the weather gets cold, once they go more run heavy, it's going to be Herbert for a while. That leads me to a little bit of concern that I do have Johnson in front of Foreman, more upside passing game, but we're talking about probably Badgett and quarterback. And what if it's not? What if it's 60-40 for Foreman? because he's elite. What if Roschon Johnson's still what he was before Khalil Herbert got hurt, and that's the 30-40% option? So are you with me? I have Roschon Johnson ahead because of the upside.
Yeah, I have him ahead too, upside. I think he's, yeah, I think we've seen enough from him, like in a couple, even though it's only been a handful of runs and a couple really nice runs, like just running over dudes and showing us that he can catch. That is why I put him ahead. But I would expect actually probably a 60-40, 70-30 maybe if Roschon looks really good out of the gate. But I would say that, don't you think that they'll really want to run the football this week? Like quite a bit.
Yeah.
With Badgett.
So they're both in play?
I'd say they run
a lot. So would you start Deonta Foreman over Craig Reynolds if their leads are in, I'm assuming?
If Gibbs is playing, I would. I would play Foreman over him.
Okay.
It's same thing, like low 30s, though. Like not getting crazy over it.
Not getting crazy. So I forgot to mention him, too. If Jeff Wilson comes back, are you starting Jeff Wilson over Deonta Foreman and Craig Reynolds?
Man, that offense is so darn good.
I know. That's why I would just start him. I would just take the chance.
I mean, why not? Like, what's the best case scenario for Foreman? What he did last week? Like 8, 9
fantasy
points?
Right. What's the best case,
like,
for Jeff Wilson? 3 touchdowns?
Like three friggin' touchdowns. Man, the Eagles are going to have their hands full this week.
I know. It is the Eagles on the flip side of that. More wide receivers quickly before, as we wrap things up. Rashee Rice, I've been talking about that. I would love to use him, but he's been buried. But the good news is, as soon as Justin Watson exited, big uptick. Huge uptick. I covered in the waiver column. He was up, and now he was running as a 1 and 2. Chargers, the most yards per reception at 12.7. And guess what?
That's such a bad defense.
Guess what? Rashee Rice leads the Chiefs in yards per route run at 2.75. And he's a yak monster, 7.05. Rashee Rice, is he a must start? Like, can I throw that on him? Is he a must start?
I think given the week, this is a guy that's been really close to a lot of my lineups, just been playing some props with him. But given the week and given the matchup, the Chargers can't stop anybody. I mean, they've allowed the most fantasy points to wide receivers, one of the highest QBRs against, a 91 completion percentage, I think I saw over the past couple of weeks. 91. Like, I had to double take that one. Like, everyone's like, oh, Dak and Dallas figured it out. Did they? Did Dak and Dallas figure it out? Or are the Rams just, or the Chargers just absolutely pathetic on defense? And I think it's the latter. I think Dak did some good things, but This could be a Rashee Rice. May watch Sky Moore finally pop up. This could be a Rashee Rice. What I like about Rashee Rice is he's top 10 in red zone targets as well. He's got a couple touchdowns. So even though he's not a big volume guy, like those targets seem to be very valuable at this moment.
Okay. Well, here we go. You ready to pull out your pen and paper? Rank these five. You ready, Meanie?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. London. Who is it finally happening for Drake London?
Man, It might be. It's a nice couple of games now.
London Curtis Samuel, who's been the best wide receiver for the Commanders. We did this run last year, but I don't think it was this good of a run last year. But anyway, Rashee Rice, Josh Palmer, and KJ Osborne. Rank those five.
I think I rank them how you said them.
London Samuel, Rice, Palmer, KJ Osborne. Is that because you're looking at the rankings?
No, I'm not. I did have them up earlier, but that's the way I wrote them. London Samuel. I mean, you can't ignore what Curtis Samuel is doing. I mean, a zero for our guy Dotson. It's just like, it makes me want to cry. But Samuel in there, Rashee Rice matchup is awesome. And then I will lean Palmer over KJ. And again, we talked about KJ. Yeah. It's like no need to panic over him. Justin Jefferson's, I don't think he's even going to be ready when the 4 weeks are up. I think this is going
to
be like,
well, they said 4 to 6. And then even
which
so, like,
could be seven.
And even if not, and then what if they are still one of the worst teams in the league?
They will be.
Where do you go for a survivor this week? Assuming, like, you took the Chiefs and the Bills and the Dolphins and were like, I was about to say,
Let me bring it up.
Pat kept saying Seattle. He's taking Seattle over Arizona at home.
I really lucked out going to the Rams last second over the Eagles. I think that all my good teams are gone. Seattle.
I know it's.
I can't pick Buffalo. Seattle's like, wow. Seattle's like the only squad I can take. I'm not taking the Raiders. There's no question.
Take the Saints on Thursday night.
I can't do that. If there was no T-Law, I'd maybe think about it.
Yeah, if it was Beathard.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't touch Atlanta and Tampa.
It's a gross week.
Ooh, Detroit. I can't do Detroit. I'm glad I got them saved. Yeah, it's a Seattle thing. And
Rams?
And, you know, that's one
Rams against the Steelers and Kenny Pickett?
If you could, I did the Rams last week. I think if you could, yeah. That's really, like, I wouldn't touch Green Bay. Denver, I don't have very many options.
It's so gross this week. And if you somehow saved your options, it's not like they're, like, San Francisco on the road, potentially no Christian McCaffrey. I could see still taking them over Minnesota because Minnesota is just trash. Tough, right? I could see, but Carolina's on a bye. The Giants are at home against the Commanders. I would love to be able to take Washington, but not that spot. I may have taken it if it was in Washington. Kansas City, Los Angeles are playing each other. Miami and your Eagles are playing each other. Like, it's gross week.
I think the only thing that – the only top teams would be Buffalo and KC, but, I mean, I use them early.
Buffalo,
I don't say
New
teams
England?
Because anything can happen.
I hate –
No, it's not great.
I know.
Divisional matchup on the road.
Divisional on the road on top of it. All right. Yeah. Last couple of things, because we don't usually talk quarterbacks, but people need some quarterbacks. Like, it's bad. Like, bye week quarterbacks and injuries. Daniel Jones might return. We don't have official word of that. But if not, I mean, Tyrod Taylor's in play. And we're so far in the fact that I said, you know what? You could play P.J. Walker, his face in the Colts. That's how bad it is. But I wanted to ask you, do you have hope and faith that Geno Smith can get right? It's been miserable so far. Part of it's been the matchups. Part of it's been his play. But if you're looking for a get-right spot versus Arizona at home, the basic question I'm going to ask you, is he a QB1? Is he going to get right this week?
I had the choice between him and Goff in your flex league, and even though this matchup is better, I went Goff because he's at least shown me a little bit more. Tough spot against Baltimore, but I thought it was a tough spot last week against Tampa, so I'd lean him. But I think that this is, like, there was an ankle injury for Geno Smith early on in the season that not a lot of people are talking about. Just the Seattle beat reporters are talking about it now, almost like they're making excuses for him. He just hasn't really had the touchdowns, you know, zero last week and over 300 passing yards. But this is a top five matchup against Arizona. So, yeah, I would say given the quarterback position this week, if he doesn't finish as a QB1, there's real legit concerns about him. I think I was big on Geno, even knowing that there would be some regression. He had such an unbelievable season, like a 10-year.
Well,
it's like in the league, 10 years, nothing, and then a great year. There had to be some regression from him.
Because you didn't have to pay QB1 in ADP.
Yeah,
when he was being drafted 14, 15, 16 at quarterback, and for the chance that he was even 90% of what he was last year, that was, you have to take him there. Like, even if it's wrong, that's the thing. I had Bryce, like, I'm surprised people keep bringing this up. I'm like, it's quarterback. Why does it matter? I had Bryce Young at QB 18. Completely wrong. He's like QB 24. But for the upside, like at QB 18, I don't want QB 18. I care if I'm wrong on QB 18 every single time, I don't care. Like, I don't want who's QB 18 right now? Derek Carr? Like, I don't know. I don't want him. I don't want Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. I don't want the same like random dudes every single week. Like, because I can go get them off the waiver wires. And if you miss out, guess what? The real key is, I was going to ask you this, would you play this quarterback over him? Because this one we definitely got right, because I have him on so many leagues because we stashed him everywhere. Sam Howell. Now, that granted, he has a zero. That is disgusting to look at your quarterback getting a big fat zero. I think maybe 0.6 in some leagues, but point being, it's a zero. Every single other game, first of all, he's a QB1 even with that. Without that game, he's a top 10 quarterback. Sam Howell or Geno Smith this week?
I would go Sam Howell. I would go Sam Howell this week against it's the same tier. All three of those guys are really close together, but I would go Sam Howell. Just the pass attempts are there. You know, the Giants are really impressed with what they did last week. Maybe that was the whole Daboll and, you know, the Bills, and maybe he knew a little bit about what was going on there. I'm not sure. His boys played for him against his former squad, but I think that this is a spot where Sam Howell can toss a couple touchdowns. And, you know, Geno, Goff outdoors, like, stop it. You know, last week he played in Tampa outdoors and he had an unbelievable game, and he's an MVP conversation.
Stop it. I mean, like, it was two straight years of Goff outdoors being utter.
But this is a different, different team now, though. It's just a different, you know what I mean?
I said last week, I would still go Goff in a lot of situations, but I said in the write-up last week, I said, this will be a telling game. It was a good matchup, and it was outdoors, and he came through.
And he could struggle this week, but I was thinking more long term too. Like,
oh, of course,
look at the schedule. He basically is inside a dome the rest of the way.
All right, last one. If you need a quarterback, you trust Baker Mayfield? I do. I have him a QB 15.
Yeah, I like Baker.
The best quarterback under pressure this year. It's insane.
He struggled against the Lions. The Lions are legit. He struggled against the Eagles. Kind of good too.
Gets Atlanta.
Gets Atlanta. could be a fun game. My one thing about quarterbacks against Atlanta is just like the pace that they play and they bleed the clock. But
well, no, here's the thing. You know, I go look at the pace chart. They're actually middle of the pack. Yeah, I thought they'd be lower.
The past couple weeks has been it's good and it's bad. It's great that, you know, they're throwing and Pitts is showing up and London is showing up. But also Ritter is making some really bad tosses here and there. But at least
it's
they're
like two
not
for one.
So one
makes a really nice throw, and then it's like two.
I know.
Like, what the hell is happening?
And the throws that what the hell is happening seem to be like in really key situations.
Oh, do you want
to
really?
No way, Drew Locke error is happening.
You want a stat that's so insane that we're going to get out of here on this. You want a stat that's so insane that Brandon Funston, my editor, actually texted me and he said, "Are you sure this is correct?" You want this stat? You want to know how insane this is?
Of course. I love numbers.
So 11 set, three wide. The Falcons running three wide. They run it 15.3% of the time. Basically, it's non-existent for them. It's 15.3. The next lowest, to give you an idea of how ridiculously low that is to run three wide receivers, especially in today's NFL, they run it 15.3% of the time. The next lowest is the Bills. 47.9.
I was going to say nearly half.
Over 30 percentage points gap difference of how little they run. Oh, by the way, comparison, Kyle Pitts and Geno Smith, tight end 5 and tight end 8 the past 2 weeks because that's the Falcons.
Right. The Bills or the Ravens ran at 11% last year and they're completely flipped. But I'm not impressed. That's a conversation for another day too. The Ravens.
That is
they're three wide. Great. Cares nobody's doing anything outside of Flowers.
You know who is doing something? At Chris Meany, who's also doing his hockey stuff, because hockey is here. So if you want help with hockey here and some great picks and that full-on package, code all in, get you 20% off still at FTN over at The Athletic. You can check out my ranks and waivers and columns and all that kind of good stuff. And we'll be back Saturday, not on this, but a reminder, SiriusXM 9 a.m. on Saturday, and then back next Monday 10:30 for week 8 waivers. This is insane. Wow. Yeah, good luck, everybody, in the Bipocalypse again.
Nah. Ace.